Episode 2 begins with Queen Charlotte being triggered by Lady Whistledown saying that Lady Whistledown thinks that the Queen has not picked a diamond yet because she's either too picky and or not impressed, nobody's good enough, whatever the reasons were. Queen Charlotte is not having it. She does not want to listen to anyone telling her, the Queen, what to do. So she's there telling Lady Danbury that she's not going to pick a diamond. And then she's also backing up her decision from last season and saying that Edwina has made a splendid splash abroad. She's trying to defend her choices. Like, look, I haven't picked anybody yet, but the girl I picked last season is thriving thanks to me. So the Kent family, they are the ones, the Black family, that has inherited this 27-room mansion. They get a tour of their new compound. And they, the husband and wife, they find out that they're supposed to have separate rooms. Why is that? This is clearly a classist thing, a classist practice. Because when they were in their other house, they were expected to sleep in the same room, share the same bed. What's going on where it's like if you are in a certain tax bracket, you're not supposed to fuck your partner? Like, someone explain this to me. Like, where is the Bridgerton podcast? I know it exists and I've never listened to it. And I'm, you know, obviously being just off the cuff right now. Do they explain this bullshit on the podcast? I just really want to know why a husband and wife, once they're in a mansion, they are not supposed to share a room. There's so many Puritan, very odd rules about how you're supposed to go about your life and act as though you don't know what sex is and you have no desires and no wants unless you are a sex worker. And I want to know why. Like, what is this about? People be getting married and having kids, but yet it's supposed to, you're not supposed to be in the same room? Okay, moving right along. So then Colin, he's there coaching Penelope, but he just doesn't give her any good advice. Like, Colin, he's trying to be a friend to her, but like his advice is really, really trash. And Colin tells Penelope that Lady Whistledown will be caught soon and they, quote, shall dance on the day of her demise, end quote. And I love that when he said this, Penelope didn't even flinch. And that was really good. I mean, how is it that Penelope is able to be hiding this massive secret that, like, she is so scared that she'll be outed? She has to be so discreet. How impressed are you with this bitch's ability to keep this a secret? And how impressed are you that she's able to just find out what everyone is doing and write about it every day? I mean, mad respect. I also want to know what her bread looks like. How much money does she have from these Lady Whistledown letters? I hope we find out at some point. So, because as you can tell, I didn't read the book. So Colin's version of teaching Penelope game is telling her to wave her fan and bat her lashes. Now, I know that this takes place in 1815, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think it's 1814. I think it's 1815. But, like, what does that have to do? Batting of the lashes, I could understand. But waving your fan? Like, I don't know. Is this really, like, I mean, I guess the women are covered from head to toe. And so they have to find different ways to, like, show their interest in someone. But, like, these bitches didn't even have good fake eyelashes. Like, let's be serious. So how, like, okay, I'll speak for myself. I ain't got no eyelashes to be batting. Like, my eyelashes are not going to get me no man. And I don't see how like waving of a fan is supposed to really, make somebody want to be with me either. I mean, I think you can't just tell her that. I think you need to tell her, like Colin should have told her to sell it, like kind of lean over and wave your fan and just stare into their eyes and bat your eyelashes. Like, give her a little something more to work with. I mean, because as we know, like Penelope got that cleavage, okay? She like you should just be like, where, cut your stuff a little lower and bend over. And then she'd find a man, right? Like really, really quickly. So Lady Featherington asks her daughters if they're both having sex, and one of them says that no, sex flattens her hair, which is very funny. The big-eyed daughter who's cute. That was very funny. And then Colin, we see that Colin is hooking up with two whores. Like it's like he went to Europe and he has to like all of a sudden he's just somebody who needs to get down like that, whereas we didn't see that side of him previously. And I don't know, I find him attractive all of a sudden in season three, so I don't mind it. Go ahead and show us these scenes. Like, again, let's be real, Bridgerton is soft core porn. So then Penelope tells Colin in a mock flirt session, quote, "Your eyes are the most remarkable shade of blue, yet somehow they shine even brighter when you are kind." Okay, so they both feel awkward about how mushy what, Penelope said was. And Penelope is a writer, and she's a writer who's in love with this man. So, of course, she's going to say that because guess what? Nobody's eyes shine brighter when they're kind. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how eye color shades work, but I love the romanticism. Like, I love it. Just be corny, lean in, like, say something like that. It might work. And I feel like Colin, how he responded, it's like he was kind of moved by it. Like, wow, ain't no, none of these hoes say that to me and say it to me like that. So, I mean, we get our little, hints, our little crumbs that lead us to believe that Colin is starting to see Penelope differently. And she certainly looks better. Like her hair looks better. Her fashion is better. So Penelope reads Colin's diary when he, hides her from Eloise. And Penelope apologizes because Colin walks in and he sees her with his diary in his hand, in her hands. Like she's holding, using both of her hands to hold both sides of the diary all up in his business. And so this was kind of fake. Like people, the way how Colin was chill about this, people are usually irate whenever someone reads their diary, even if they compliment them on their writing. So Penelope was like, "Oh, you're a good writer." It's like, you ain't about to comment on my writing. How dare you? He didn't do any of that. He was such a gentleman about it. And then so Penelope, because she was so frazzled and nervous and embarrassed and shocked, caught off guard that he walked in, she accidentally breaks a candle, and then they got it, they get their eye lock on, and Colin is picking up the shattered glass off the floor, and you could tell when that he's feeling a little something. Feeling a little tingly, when they're locking eyes and he accidentally cuts his hand, and then Penelope is wrapping his hand with, cloth to stop it from breathing, which I wish he wrapped it tighter so it could look a little more real. But it's like he's getting all these sparks, and I love it because Colin, he's come back to the town after traveling, and women are throwing pussy at him every single day, left and right, literally surrounding him. But he's only feeling Penelope, and I love that, love it so much. So then Eloise isn't telling Colin why she's no longer friends with Penelope, which is so awkward because he really wants to know, but Eloise is still trying to protect her former friend, so she can't tell him she is Lady Whistledown, what's going to happen. But, Penelope is in such a horrible position because the one person she can't piss off is Eloise. Eloise could out her at any given moment. So then Lady Featherton finds out that her daughters don't, or her daughter doesn't know what sex is. And again, like these Featherington sisters, they are the comic relief of this series, and I appreciate it so much because let's be real, like back in the 1800s, well, today, I feel like today there's still people who don't know what sex is. Like, we always assume that people know what it is, but especially back when Bridgerton was taking place, or back in the setting of 1815 in this fictionalized story, like they weren't having sex ed. They certainly didn't have porn. They certainly didn't have, a lot of ways for people to find out themselves through their own research about what sex is. So imagine how many women like found out what sex is on their honeymoon. Like, no prep. Imagine the trauma. So it makes sense that Lady Featherington's daughters don't know what sex is, but we also got to blame her because that should be her duty as a mother to inform her children and to prepare them, because in when it came to the Bridgertons, Daphne was informed. She found out about sex. Her mom let her know. So if, Miss Featherton, Lady Featherton should have done that for her bitches too. Her daughters. her hoes, her whores. Man, I love her daughters, though. They're so annoying. So, Penelope has a really great vibe with a man in a wheelchair at the ball, and I love it. They're super cute together. I'm like, I'm into this. She's kind of getting her wish. She's kind of figuring out how to flirt, how to be subtle, and guess what? She didn't even have to fan herself or bat her eyelashes. Like, she had a vibe with this guy. And so Colin comes up to her and she tells him that, she likes this guy, and Colin is feeling like, wow, I actually turn things around for Penelope. So the women at the ball, they start whispering and staring at Penelope, and everyone is also staring at Colin, and they find out why, because a woman asks Colin why he'd help Penelope find a husband. So Penelope, in shock and horror, runs out and cries in her carriage ride home. And I would do the same. This is something that, like, how are you supposed to defend yourself? How are you supposed to explain yourself? That is so incredibly embarrassing. Like, this is not a time where I would be like, oh, I would be getting upset and popping off. Like, no, you have to go run and hide. Like, how incredibly embarrassing. So then Colin yells at Eloise for telling the secret that he's helping Penelope, and then Eloise says that she didn't tell everyone, and we already, if you watch the show, you find out that it basically just was overheard. So then Queen Charlotte discovers that Francesca is a talented piano player because Lady Danbury, coordinates. I think it was Lady Danbury or what, Bridgerton? No, the Bridgerton woman, whoever, coordinated so that Queen Charlotte would discover that Francesca plays the piano well. And so Queen Charlotte, because she's a snob and she wants you to be special, better, and different than the others, she automatically makes Francesca her season's diamond because she is a talented piano player. So the black couple, that the Kent couple, that they're in this huge mansion, they decide to not sleep apart so they could be together. It's like, it's your mansion. Go ahead and do what you want to do. I love that. So both Featherton sisters, they are now officially hooking up with their husbands, trying to produce a male heir. And it's like, think of, again, think about this era. Like, these women were not getting epidural down. You know what I'm saying? Like, how were they really doing it back way, like pre-epidural? How were women doing what they did? Like, OMG. So, I wanted to know when it's like when, Penelope calls herself a spinster and says that she's been on the marriage mart for 3 years. In the town, in the community, are they keeping score of how many years a woman is looking for a husband? Is it like some type of scarlet letter? Is it like a credit score that you should be ashamed of and shamed for? How is it that, Penelope is able to talk about how many years she's been on the marriage mart, 3 years, and then they all start to look at you as a loser, just like Cressida has so much pressure on her to get a ring so that she could get some money because she's going to be cut off. Like, it is sad, it is tragic, and it is so, that was very commonplace. But it's just like, why is everybody like, why is it such a, sexist, heteronormative world where it's like, not only do you have the pressure of finding your person because you need to survive, but it's like everybody is looking at you crazy if it doesn't happen immediately in the very first year that you want to find a spouse. Like, there was no dating apps. Relax. Like, I can't even imagine the stress. Like, a woman's role really was just to get married and reproduce. That was it. That was all she was seen for in society. That was the only value that they would assign to her and nothing else. And it makes me really sad for the women who weren't able to marry because what were their options? They didn't have any. So then Colin visits Penelope at her house at night to apologize to her. Because, Penelope told him that she overheard him talking about how he wouldn't court her and this, that, and the other. So then Penelope, or I guess to apologize because their secret was out about him helping her. But anyways, so then Penelope asked Colin to kiss her because she said that she's feeling like she's going to die a spinster. And so Colin abides. He kisses her and then they start making out a little bit and his fireworks baby is booming. Then fireworks is bursting. They're into each other. The chemistry is there. We already know that Penelope wanted her some Colin and now Colin is like, I didn't know. I liked him short and thick, but I officially like him short and thick. And I'm here for it. It's time for us to have, as I said last season, some fat sex on this show because we've only had like thin fit people getting down on Bridgerton. And I want to see Miss Bouncy, full, big tittied Penelope get hers. And I want it to be with Colin. And so I adore this show. And I just hope that we don't have to wait several years, what about like several years for the next season? I hope they're already filming that shit right now. Don't play with us, don't play in our face. Okay, that is episode two. Buckle up or stay buckled up. Now we gotta get into episode three.